Okay. Oh, Ron. Okay, no, I'm already actually. All right, so I've been thinking about this. You know, the only solution to our staying together as a group is to book tickets to Belize. All of us. You have to get tickets to Belize. We'll form a colony there. And it's not a Jim Jones kind of thing. You know, I'll be your spiritual leader, but I have really nothing spiritual about me, so that's a lot of latitude. Book tickets to Belize, and we'll get a bunch of Airbnbs once we get there on the beach. And I mean it, because I got this, all this stuff, I got all this retirement stuff now, you know. Moving to Belize could be the best decision you'll ever make. Maybe not, but it could. Why Belize, you say? Sparsely populated, they speak English, and you can buy real estate. $15,000 for a simple Belizean-style home in a small village, to $500,000 for a luxury home on the beach in San Pedro. Benefits of moving to Belize, you invest in the country, and they give you a lot for your money. You can move your household goods to Belize. I'm telling you, this is what we got to do. I got my Belize report. The first thing you got to do is liquefy your assets. So, and the timing is perfect for either the Trump or the Clinton administration. We're in Belize. We're fine. And it looks, it's like a palm tree in every picture I've ever seen of Belize has a palm tree in it. So how do you pay for it? Okay. Glad you asked. You take whatever you're going to give to public radio in the upcoming fund drive. You put it on Oscar nominated in the Kentucky Derby. 50-1. Okay. Doesn't mean he'll win, but when you put it on public radio, what do you get? So let's say your pledge, your typical pledge is $25. What do you get back? $1,250. That's airfare. You might want to up your pledge. Okay. I can see it's going to be a tough sell. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we know what we're doing with funny lady and author Jen Kirkman, plus all the news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's too big to fail, Michael Feldman.
Too big to what? Oh, too big to fail. Thank you very much. And all the news that isn't, the first cruise ship in 40 years, the Poseidon, steams to Cuba. I say the first cruise ship in 40 years, the Poseidon, steams to Cuba. Google teams up with Chrysler to make a self-schlepping minivan. What a world. You sit at home with a cup of coffee in the Weather Channel, the minivan schleps your kids. Itself. Of course, they'll hack it. You know, the kids are going to hack it. End up at Six Flags, no matter what you do. Oh, well. Speaking of which, a 10-year-old is given $10,000 for hacking Instagram, and he gets to keep the celebrity casual shots he picked up as well. Because he is 10 years old. Come on. Rens Priebus, the GOP ringleader, acquires the tiny little annoying shrill singing twins, and who will attempt to attract Mothra to stop Trumpzilla. That was a long, meaningless sentence, but you know what I mean. Those little singing. Okay, you know what you don't. I'll cross it out. I won't use it again anyway. The good news after being Trump, Ted Cruz has his Zodiac work to fall back on. And John Kasich doesn't have to be nice to old ladies anymore, you know. No more take a widow out to dinner. What was that anyway? I'll take the right widow out to dinner anytime. The wife and I are thinking about a Ted Cruz. Just, you know, that's when you sail straight south. Ted Cruz. Take a Ted Cruz. Straight south. Ted Cruz. Okay. Trump receives endorsements of the baked beans bushes. He's also picked up Arsenio Hall. Of course, he was a former Celebrity Apprentice. And the Weather Girl on Channel 12. Also, the Weather Girls on Channels 4 and 6. A lot of Weather Girl endorsements. The Rolling Stones tell the Trump people to stop using "you can't always get what you want, but sympathy for the devil is okay." Kim Jong-un is seeking a supreme power this weekend. He's rebuked by Kim Jong-ryan, who says he wasn't ready yet. Not quite there yet. The last report, he was not quite anywhere. Kim Jong-ryan. Bluebell's Rocky Road ice cream is recalled for having Rocky Road in it. What they think was in it all these years. Pig attacks former couple. Oh, no, farm couple. Farmer couple is a different story, I think. Pig attacks farm couple in Massachusetts, squealing, "four legs good, two legs bad." It begins. Trump slams Hillary as nasty, mean enabler of Bill's affairs after she won't fix him up. Trump already has a name for the first ship in his administration when they get that new cruiser. It's going to be called Trumpy McTrumpface. I'm looking forward to that, if nothing else. New father Justin Timberlake's new single, "Can't Stop the Pooping," drops. Alabama's Chief Justice suspended for refusing to marry his clerk. Why ruin a good thing? And the oldest sin tour of every 60s surviving rock band, Dylan, Stones, Surviving Beatles, Neil Old, The Who, coming in October just as the days dwindle down to a precious few. And you sure don't want to be the roadie who forgets the paddles backstage for that one. That's all the news of this. And thank you so much. And what are you going to do, really? All right. You got to put rails on the stage for that event, I'll tell you that. I know what I'm doing, and other lies I tell myself. Jen Kirkman's got a new one out. She had a bestseller with her first one, "I Can Barely Take Care of Myself," but we suspect she can. She's on the line with us now from Los Angeles. Jen Kirkman, hi, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I just want to make sure that you can hear me okay.
I can hear you fine. Is there a reason I shouldn't be able to hear you?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
I guess I still haven't accepted that they're a technology that has been proven to work.
Really? Well, how old are you?
Movies on
how
them?
Old are you? Anyhow, I thought you were just a kid.
Well, that's offensive. I've had a career for 20 years. I'm 41. Why would you think I was just a kid? The information is out there.
I didn't. I really didn't think about my age. I didn't.
Every interview I do, the guy's like, "You're 20," and then I just want to hang up.
Yeah,
oh, good.
No,
now we're good.
No, I knew you were old already. Because your book, it's all about turning 40 and all, and still wanting to do the things that you did when you were, you know, younger, and the ramifications of that.
Like bending over and walking. No.
Yeah. It's hard to bend over and walk, I find. I usually do one or the other. Easiest for me. Did you work last night? Are you working the comedy clubs in L.A.?
No. I mean, it's not really what I do in L.A. because when I'm on the road, like right now I'm on a tour. It's a one-woman show, so there's nothing to practice at the clubs here. I have a new comedy special I'm doing in the fall, and I'll go on the road to work on that. And there's a few gigs I'm doing around town in L.A. over the next month, but I don't scrounge around the comedy clubs quite like that anymore. But no.
Because you don't have to.
Well, not because I don't have to. I love to work out new stuff, but I just got home yesterday from a tour, so I don't need to go out that night, you know, and and do something. It's a lot in LA. It's driving for half hour, parking to do something for 5 minutes. So I try to block out a week where I might do that and then take some time. I try to be very strategic about the use of my time.
Yeah. And is it hard to face a crowd of primarily of other comics? Or is it?
No, in LA now it's booming. It's not like that at all. Oh, I don't really go to the open mics. I'll go to the clubs and stuff, but it's a booming scene right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to end. It's so good. You're like, oh, it's over tomorrow.
There's a comedy bubble.
I think we're on the bubble, but we're riding it a lot longer than before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what people are telling me?
Right.
The reason the bubble burst in the 80s is because too many people with zero talent were doing comedy. And so, of course, that ended. But now everybody is really good, and there are so many comics. It seems to just keep going and building. Like Trump's campaign, you can't believe it's going this far.
Yeah.
But we have that on the positive side with comedy. We can't believe it's still going. So we all are convinced it's going to end.
Yeah, the main thing now is to get on Drunk History one way or another, right?
You know what's funny is that I was the original. I've done five of them, and I didn't. Yeah. I just turned it down this year because of you actually get drunk, and it's too much.
Yeah, and I read somewhere someone saw you on that, and you're kind of the landmark for Drunk History, I think.
Well, yeah, Derek's a good friend of mine, and I did the second ever Drunk History back when it was just online, and then I've always done it, but I had to leave for a tour a couple of days later, and it takes me about 48 hours to recover from that Drunk History hangover, so I said no.
Do you not drink normally, and so you maybe have an overreaction to alcohol? Is that?
I think so. I drink, for me, 3 glasses of wine with dinner, and I'm pretty drunk. So to drink 2 bottles is a lot for me.
Oh, they gave you 2 bottles?
Well, they don't make you do anything. I choose to get blackout drunk for Drunk History because, well, actually, don't choose. I drink 1 bottle, I blackout, and I don't know I'm still drinking. But I think it's best when you're so drunk that you don't know what you might do.
Yeah, no, I like that feeling. I don't know what I might do when I'm sober, though. That's my problem. I'm at that age. I'm at even worse. You know, it's worse. 40 is nothing. Trust me on that. You know, Drunk History is like the worst idea, the worst best idea ever. You know, it's like a reprehensible idea, but it is so great. It's amazing.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Of course, they told me they were pitching it to one network, and the network went, how about just the history, but they're not drunk? They didn't think they could get advertisers.
How about lose the history, lose the drunk, I think.
How about we all just go home?
Yeah, go home. We have a little clip from, I don't know if you want us to do it or not, maybe you don't, so I'll run it before you. It's the one where you are Edith Wilson.
Oh, I don't mind Drunk History clips at all. I think it's great.
Yeah. By the way, now, and she was really the first woman president because her husband was incapacitated, Woodrow Wilson, and she was running the country.
Completely.
Now, did you learn about that yourself, or they feed you the script on this, or did you actually go out and study the history?
Yeah, there's no script. They pitch you a few stories, and you pick the one that you feel the most passionate about. So I picked her.
Yeah.
I forget what the other ones I had to choose from were. And then they provide you with research packets.
Yeah, oh, cool.
But you have to do your own research.
Yeah. And it's kind
of
hard.
Actually wasn't really aware of this until I was researching it for Drunk History.
Yeah.
I knew he was incapacitated, but I didn't know his wife was sort of doing that.
Yeah, it was cool. And the way they acted out was fabulous. Let's run a little bit of this here.
Okay. Can.
Edith Wilson was the president's wife. When her husband's at work, she's like, what do? I got to think. It's World War I right now, so let's ration. She's like, don't eat meat on Mondays. Don't eat the gas on Sundays with the car. And then don't get an STD, she said to the soldiers. Wrap it up. But at this point, the Congress is like, the president hasn't come outside in a couple weeks. What's he doing? And so they knock on the door, like, excuse me. It's me, Congress. We're having a feeling that I don't even know what we're feeling, but can you talk to us? And she's like, no, he's just super tired. He has exhaustion. Like, don't bother him. Get out of here, Congress. And she was like, yeah, I literally signed every document. I literally heard every argument. I literally wrote every piece of paper. I literally ran the country. But I want to say one thing about her.
Yes, ma'am.
She's not a hero. But that doesn't mean she's not a hero. Does that understand you? Complicated?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
There you have it. Drunk history, ladies and gentlemen. Jen Kirkman telling the Edith Wilson story.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty accurate as far as I could tell.
Yeah, I think it was that I signed every bleep.
Yeah, we had to work on that one. That was they put on the unexpurgated version there online there. But then we had to.
As I said in the drunk history that I don't think was in the clip, nothing, like, memorable happened under her watch, but nothing bad happened either. So
yeah.
She did okay.
Yeah, no, she did good, really. So do you get career advice from your orthodontist? Is that true or false?
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. First of all, why are you
By
still
the way,
going,
I know you're why, like, why?
Why are you going to an orthodontist at 41?
Well, it never ends. My
are they
my
moving?
My teeth decided they're
yeah.
moving.
Yeah.
They moved a few years ago. A lot of these stories in the book are from technically 5 years ago, but So about 5 years ago, my teeth started moving, and I got Invisalign.
And I
had this orthodontist who only worked on Fridays.
Yeah.
And we couldn't think of
only
a,
on
a revisit. I don't. He was like a professor. I don't know. He did something else during the week with orthodontistry or whatever. But and he only worked Fridays, so we're trying to make an appointment. And I said, listen, I don't have a Friday free for the next 5 months. And he said, you know, all this travel and touring, you might want to settle down at some point. You're missing out on life.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm traveling the world, dude. Like, I don't understand how I'm missing out on a life that I seriously, like, wanted to build. But I was also like, why am I getting lectured here? He works one day a week.
Right, really? Like me?
But so, exactly. And like me, really.
Yeah.
So he said to me, well, what's so great about traveling anyway? Why do women want to do it all the time? Which was just a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
And then he confessed that his girlfriend had broken up with him the night before because she didn't want the life he wanted, and she wanted to travel the world. So he had a chip on his shoulder that day.
Yeah.
So I ended up giving him, like, kind of therapy. And then that was it. And I haven't gone back since, and now I'm afraid he's read the book.
Yeah, is he by any chance a Jewish orthodontist?
No, he's not. He's okay. Armenian.
Because then I could understand.
Did I just say something racist by saying his race? I never know anymore.
No. Well, I was just thinking some of the things sound like, you know, I would say.
He did so sort of fit the stereotype of, like, an old Jewish mother, like sit down, eat something. We don't have to always be traveling, you know, that kind of thing.
And the fathers have their own thing, too, which is sort of like, why don't you, you know, start a life, start a family.
Why don't you get a job?
Yeah. Is he the one you told that your ovaries were in a compression bag or something, too?
Yeah, I think I probably didn't tell him that, but I was thinking
of it. You were thinking of it. What does that mean, exactly? I was puzzled on that for the longest time.
Oh, well, do you know what a compression bag is?
Yeah, when you have and you put the air out of it, put sweaters
in it. Yeah, you put your sweaters in it, and you put it under your bed. I feel like mine are in that place in life where they're just not being used, so I picture them in a compression bag, and they're just kind of tucked under my uterus somewhere. They're not dead yet. They're not gone yet.
I'm so glad I asked.
They're put away. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Bob Odenkirk quote that you start with. You know that people should make their art as though their parents were dead. It's kind of important for a performer, especially for a comic, I would think.
Yeah, I think you have to imagine that. I mean, and by the way, at my age, there are no consequences with my parents, but
yeah, no.
I do not want to hurt them or have them worry about me or reveal their secrets. And that's a big thing I'm very conscious of, is not revealing my family's secrets, maybe until they are actually dead. But I think that, yeah, just acting as though you're an adult and saying what you want to say is probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Odenkirk is kind of amazing. He's kind of a spiritualist in a very weird way.
If I see his name on a podcast, it's like it's the first thing I listen to, and yeah, I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he never makes sense, and yet he really makes sense.
But I think that's what all great spiritual leaders do. Yeah.
But you're worried about your mom and dad reading this book, right? Because this reveals quite a bit about your personal life and your marriage, your failed marriage, et cetera, et cetera.
Was it failed? Let's get deep.
Not for me to say.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it was failed. It ended right when it should have. It would be failed if I was still in it.
And you were best friends. You were best friends, so that was kind of a good thing, but not a good thing.
It wasn't a good thing. I don't think that people should marry the person that is the kind of best friends we were, which was not even the kind where you can't get enough of talking to each other. It was just this, you're the person I'm most used to in my life. We've gone this far. It's been 6 years. We should get married. There was stuff I didn't want my parents to see, and my dad won't read it. My mom still hasn't purchased it. So
can't you give her one?
He wants to. I mean, to be honest with you, the amount of effort it takes for me to drive to a post office, wait in line on my day off in L.A., it's like a daunting task. So I haven't, but I could just order her one off Amazon. But I told her I don't want her to read it, and if she wants to, she'll have to find it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but she told me I'm a grown woman and it doesn't matter and all that. But the conversations will come up later, like at Christmas next year. She'll start asking me, you know, like, so what if there is a hell? You don't think you're going?
That's what she said. Really?
She's coming into her own as a woman in her 70s. Like she's not as Catholic.
Yeah.
And but she's very fixated on the afterlife as you get closer. I think to the end of your life, I think you think about that. And she is very concerned with some of the things that she was taught would send people to hell. And I don't mean murdering or swearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get
it. And she's fixated on that. So we'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Under the Christmas tree.
Yeah. But for you, you have sort of philosophy. You have this kind of a new version of the I'm okay, you're okay. And I know some of the things you listed in here. For example, it's okay to not want monogamy for some periods of your life. That's okay. And that's kind of an important thing to realize.
I'm not in that now. I mean, the thing I don't like about writing a book is you write it and
there it is.
Years later it comes out. It was a time in my life where I didn't want to jump from being married to another serious relationship. And so I had to sort of force myself to be on my own for a while, but now I'm monogamy only. So if anyone in the audience thinks otherwise, that something's going to happen between us, me and the audience. But yeah, so now it's back to monogamy only. But I think there are certain periods of your life where being alone or whatever, seeing different people is important growth.
All right. Okay.
Not for everyone.
No. It's okay. It's okay not to spend holidays with your family sometimes. I suppose there's a lot of pressure in your family to be there for every occasion and holiday, I presume.
Not my family.
No, not your family.
But, no, I've seen it in others. I saw it in my husband's family when we were together.
Oh.
I feel like the thing that has saved my relationship with my family is especially because I'm long distance. I'm the one that has to fly to the East Coast in the winter, spend all the money. Everyone's at a heightened sensitivity alert that time of year. So one year I thought I'll just come visit for 2 weeks in July instead of Christmas, and that there's no pressure, there's no extended family involved, and we had a great time. And the Hallmark Channel was playing Christmas movies in July, and it was sort of like Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I'm Jewish. I don't want to keep bringing this up, but my first wife was not, so it was the first time I got to experience the Christmas holidays. And it was unbelievably tense. I mean, there was like a simmering battle going on. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure you have very nice Christmases. I don't mean that you don't. But in this particular family, and it really, I didn't understand what was going on. There's all these subterranean.
It's simmering.
Yes, simmering.
Yeah. It's resentment, and people don't. It's everybody's own drama. And usually in my family, I'm the only one of 70 people that's in therapy. So I'm just walking around diagnosing everybody in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. Christmas is a time of year. Everyone's blinded by the Christmas lights, but what's deeply going on is resentments and old hate, paranoia. It's a loaded holiday.
It is.
Just as Jesus wanted it to be.
Really, when you think about it, probably a different intention. It's okay to drop your old friends from grade school. Have you had friends like that long, kept those, and are you through them now?
You know, with Facebook, it's like you get back together. Yeah. Yeah, and so I felt at one point that I had to look on everyone's wall and keep up and hit like, and then they start emailing you directly, and let's all catch up when you come back to town, and it started to get overwhelming. I thought, if it wasn't for the computer, I wouldn't sound like I'm 100, the computer. I wouldn't still know these people, and so I sort of let that go.
Yeah.
I still have two very good friends from childhood, but that's because we are, it turns out we were right about each other when we were five. We're all soulmates.
That's rare, so that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. It's okay to call yourself spiritual, but not religious.
Yes, I think so. I don't like when people get made fun of for, well, we just indicated that we think Bob Odenkirk's a spiritual guru. When people get made fun of for saying, I'm spiritual but not religious, and everyone makes fun of that, like, oh, good. I think it's great, and I'm a big fan of anything that'll help me get a different perspective. And for me, I have to sort of remind myself that I did not invent the universe, and that really takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
Even if science invented the universe, that is a power greater than me.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the guy who did invent the universe.
Oh, he gets no credit. Whoever it is,
and has to feel
forward.
Weird about it, you know, if I mention it. Now, this is a tough one for me. It's okay to talk honestly about sex. Now, I come from a family where sex was just total innuendo, never stated point blank.
It was like Three's Company.
No, my family. So,
no, I know.
Yeah.
It was a bad joke.
That's about as far as it went, actually, was watching Three's Company.
I came from that same thing, too. Yeah. And I feel like I still get shy talking about it. It's not a thing I like to talk about. But I think what I was referring to in the book is when I was married, I noticed that my husband and I weren't doing that. And when I asked other people, it would be uncomfortable for them to give me advice on it, feel like the common wisdom is, oh, nobody does that when they're married, and I don't think that's true. I think it's an important part of a relationship, and then I think people sometimes act like it's not, and so I feel like people should talk about those kind of expectations and talk to their friends about it.
Yeah, but if you don't talk about it in the family, you probably don't feel... back in the 60s, and so just to date myself here even further... my first year in college here at UW-Madison, I came home for the summer, and we had this whole thing was about being truthful for some reason, you know, being honest about everything. For some reason, you're supposed to be honest about everything, and I actually believed that. So I made my mother sit down in the kitchen and listen to what happened to me sexually.
And
honest to God, it wasn't much, but there was a couple. They were pretty funny, I thought. My sexual mishaps, my first year, and she kept trying to get out of the kitchen chair, and I said, I pushed her down very gently. And I said, no, Mom, I just want you to know, because we got to be honest now. And I have felt bad for that. That must have been like 40 years ago, and I still feel I am so regretful of that, because honesty has its limits. You know?
Absolutely. It's like Kenny Rogers. You have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. You can't
just be honest
with everybody. Oh, exactly. But I think it'd be good to be honest with your partner about your history, but maybe your mother.
No. Did you ever talk to your mother about that kind of thing? Or
We do now because,
you
know, she's been aware, even through seeing my stand-up, that there's been men in my life, I guess. And she'll say her weird things about it, but, she likes to relate through celebrities, so she'll read a book. I read Lauren Bacall's biography, and she was a great lover of many men. And... I think a lot of showbiz people are like that. So I understand. I'm like, what?
That's great. So you can talk about Lauren Bacall anyway. So that's a great lover of many men. I believe it.
I still don't know what that conversation was, but we had that one.
Yeah. Very good one. And this one here, this is maybe a personal thing. It's okay to stay in a hotel in the same city you live in because you want to watch TV in bed.
Okay.
Do you take occasional hotel in town and just hang out?
I do. When I was writing my book, I would go to this hotel in West Hollywood to write it. I would sit at their, outdoor area and just have coffee and just right, and I just, it was this really quiet place that nobody was at, and every once in a while I would stay overnight there, and I could only write if I wasn't in my own home, and then I would lay in bed and watch TV because I don't have a TV in my bedroom at home, which sounds ridiculous. I could just buy a television, but
not the
same. Every once in a while, if I wanted to take a vacation, I thought, well, I live in L.A. It's fantastic. It is a vacation. I don't want to get on a plane because that's what I do for a living, so I'm just going to stay in a hotel that has a fabulous pool for 2 days. And I felt like a jerk about it, but I would feel less guilty if I'd actually gone away. But sometimes you actually don't want to go that far, but you want to get out of the house. It's such a first world thing, I guess, but
some of that's inevitable. You're going to do first world things.
Well, I have friends who are like, let's still go to Mexico for 2 days for a quick, two-day vacation. But I felt like I got a lot of dirty looks when I said I would do that, but I would just go to West Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, if you go to Mexico, that's like colonialism, though. You got to be, you know.
Well, I should have accused them of
that. Using all their resources
so
for your own selfish needs.
Ah, that's a good one. I should have shamed them.
Well, thank you so much for your... I know what I'm doing, and other lies I tell myself. I get the feeling you do know what you're doing, though, pretty much, Jen.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, right now I'm going to go back to bed. That's like a pretty solid decision.
Thanks very much. Jen Kirkman.
Thank you. Thank you, Wisconsin. Bye, guys.
What a pleasure. Other lies I tell myself. Okay. All right. Let's put this here right now. Well, gentlemen's.
Yeah, she
John
was good.
And Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah, good. I'm glad I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Next time I talk to her.
Yeah. Next time you're hanging out in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood. I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went to a restaurant there one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget what it was. Back in my glory days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how she said, thank you, Wisconsin. I thought that was really cute.
It's very cute. Man. So I got a little tune. Oh, you got something you want to promote here? You look like
no.
you got something coming
no,
up.
No, not at all.
Jeff
uh-uh.
must have
no.
something. Or
oh,
Jeff,
well.
Yeah. Jeff?
Should we promote Jeff?
Jeff?
Well,
he's in a coma.
He's got a gig tonight in Chicago at Andy's with the Mike Smith Quartet. So they start at 9:30, I think, and Andy's on Hubbard.
Andy's on Hubbard in Chicago. Catch Jeff down there. And,
this is a little tune I rewrote. It was another tune, and then I kind of changed it, and this is what came out, and I still don't have a title to it. So
okay.
That always flummoxes me sometimes.
Call it flummoxed.
Yeah. Flummoxed. There you go. Okay. Flummoxed.
Michael Feldman.
I think, in fairness, you should all applaud for John for no reason. John, too. And Stephanie Lee for a very good reason. Most definitely. Oh, I got some cards here. I got some cards here. Those are very nice shoes. They're kind of silvery. What would you call those?
Gold.
Thank you very much. My son and I were last here in 1993. He was 5 and was covered with clothing pins.
Oh.
I was wearing a hat. Do you remember? No. Where are you now? And is it still the same thing, pretty much?
I forgot the clothespins.
Yeah. Well, stand up now here. I have to imagine. Come on. So this was a while ago now. How old are you now?
28.
28, okay. Turn around now. He's not covered with clothespins. Imagine him smaller, covered in clothespins for some reason. What was the reason he was in clothespins?
Well, it turns out that this may not be the best activity for a 5-year-old. And so I needed to keep him occupied. And so
you brought a bag of clothespins with you?
I did, yes.
That was good thinking, though.
Yeah, but you had donuts, so that was an attraction. And it was free.
So did you, every time he wiggled, you put another clothespin in him or something?
No, I just set him there and gave him a bag of clothespins, and he put them on his head and his shirt, and then you noticed that.
Yeah. And, have you done much piercing since then?
I did a lot, actually, yeah. I did a lot.
All based on this experience. And your name is?
Trey Duffy.
Trey and?
Sean Duffy.
Sean Duffy, ladies and gentlemen, back after a formative experience. We should give the Duffys something.
Absolutely.
They deserve something.
How about a pair of wines from the Wollersheim Winery? Our usual giveaway. Does that
Let's
get to the
pierced.
Duffys?
Do you have any piercing? Why is there no sneeze guard on the donuts? They have a sneeze guard, but it's on the ceiling. Did you see that? I was saying to somebody who went on there, there's this plastic sneeze guard along the, you know. This fricata, you know, designer who did design this building here, you know. Put things in the wrong places. Okay, I don't know why. How many people have died taking selfies? That's because of my attempt to take a selfie with the entire audience. It's absolutely impossible and could result in death, so don't do it at home. Jim Dickey's here from the closing Mazo Beach here. Now, if you're not from here, that probably is not important to you. Even if you're from here, it may not be important to you, but it's like the classic Midwestern nude beach, you know. Nice. Except all the canoeists coming down the river there, and, you know. And so huge increase in canoe traffic when they started going nude at Mazomania Beach. But now they're closing it down for some stupid reason. Where is Jim Dickey? The Friends of Mazo Beach?
Right here.
They're here? Well, hey, Jim. How are you? I see you're wearing clothes today.
Yes, indeed. It's optional.
That's right. You want to get up and make a pitch for Mazo Beach and why it should be open?
Well, contact the Department of Natural Resources. This agency might see it in their heart to open it up again. It's a big attraction to have a European beach style right here in the Midwest.
Right. You betcha. Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's good for the canoodlers, too. Come on. All right. Let's see. Although I've gone there, but I took the option when I was there. And everybody was glad. Zarina Johnson, we are from the Philippines in Baraboo. There's a commute. Have you ever tried balut? 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 Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an almost fertilized duck egg. It's kind of an embryo.
Oh.
It's a delicacy.
Well, I've had almost fertilized duck eggs, but I didn't know they were a national dish of the Philippines.
Yes.
I'm surprised. How does one fix it? I probably should get in there and talk to you, but I got to walk through all these people. I'm going to do it. Go through it because I want to learn how to make a good balut. Well, yeah, you come down this way because they won't mind you stepping on them. All right. Is it pronounced balut?
Yes.
And it has to be a duck egg? Can you do it with chicken eggs or?
No, it has to be a duck
egg. Duck egg? No,
I
don't know.
Oh, I have my picture ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring her picture, would you? Yes.
Oh, it's fine. Hi.
Hi. And you're Zarina?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me about it.
So a balut, it is an almost fertilized... So who watches, like, Andrew Zimmern?
Yeah.
Or Bizarre Foods?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So a balut, it's shaped like a chicken egg, but when you open it, it's almost fertilized, so there's soup in there, which I think that's the pee of the duck that's not out yet.
This sounds better and better as you explain it.
Hold on. Here, I'll show you.
Oh, you have a picture of it. That's very big on radio, showing pictures. My next career, I hope I will fail at television, and we can do it that way.
Okay,
let's see now.
There's a selfie, sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. Oh, that's a nice one. What are you doing there in that picture?
I was watching you.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think so. Where is the fertilized duck egg? Balut, there it is. Oh, they're all labeled.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, it is. The five craziest dishes in the world. Oh, there's a little duck in there. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry we started this. I mean, it's nice to meet you, but this is a horrible, horrible thing.
You should. Maybe instead of Belize, you should move to the Philippines and just, you know, have a show.
If I could find something else to eat, I'll be there.
Thank you. We have a food truck in the farmer's market called Masarap, Filipino food.
Good.
So try it.
Is that in there?
Balut? No.
Okay.
No.
Balut to go, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very nice. Oh, you don't want to see the picture anyway. Thank goodness for radio. Anyone know where I can get a good balut in town here? Maybe at Mezo, huh? Sell you a balut right on the beach down there at Mezo.
Sounds like a wonderful way to spend an afternoon.
Yeah. A balut in the beach. Uh-huh. Okay, so we're going to play the first round here of the What Do You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz.
How do we do that?
Well, okay, the four disclaimers. And where did that end up? Down? Yes, can I get you to come down here, sir? And you got your readers on?
Yes.
You do? Are they the progressives? I got progressives. You like? You got them? You like them?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you are a progressive, huh? You admit it?
I will admit it here.
Okay, all right. And your name is?
Jerry Klump.
Jerry, I'll give this to you and get out of your way.
All right. Okay. The four disclaimers. One, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, miss the days when all we had to worry about were invasive carp. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you very much. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who... Yes, even better. Smarter. You could go right up there. You wouldn't have to come through all those people. Why didn't I think of that? Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
And you are?
Craig Barbian.
Craig Barbian. You from around here, Craig?
Sussex.
Sussex.
This is my bucket list.
It's on your bucket list.
Absolutely. It's the last one.
Well, it's so funny because... Why are you applauding that? It means one of us is dying. It's a bucket list. Both of us, possibly. Yeah. Sussex is on my bucket list. Isn't that a coincidence?
That's sad, but yeah.
Well, you want to tell me, is that a good enough reason just for being on the quiz?
Yep, for me it is, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then come on up here. We don't have to bother with the formalities then. Craig from Sussex. Have a seat there, if you would. What do you do out there in Sussex, Craig?
I'm an account manager.
What do you do?
Account manager for patient care. We do patient advocacy.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yep.
Wonderful. And where do you do that for?
Downtown Milwaukee, patient care. My boss will be very happy.
Wow. And give this man a raise, because he's a big advocate of getting a raise, especially. And what do you do for kicks, Craig? You got a sport, or you got a...
We're big into music. We were actually at Pottawatomie last night till about 1:30, listening to one of our friends who plays music.
That's all you were doing there at Pottawatomie?
A few drinks.
That's
didn't
all?
Gamble at all.
No gambling?
No gambling.
Not a gambling man?
I am, but sometimes you have to rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, okay. What do you like to, where does it go when you do gamble? Not in the machines, right? Not a machine guy.
Poker.
Poker?
Once in a while, slots.
Yeah, you're a pretty good poker player?
I like to think so.
Let me see your poker face. Oh, yeah. That would do it for me. I would definitely not mess with you. I would fold before I would deal with you. Craig, so if that plays along with you, you know how that works. And whatever happens, then happens. And then how does that then work then, Stephanie?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, the United Arab Emirates have a chronic shortage of rainfall. They just announced a rather novel way of dealing it. What are they doing in the Emirates to create rain? It's always, you know, something, anything they do there is going to be big time. And this is a big time solution to making the rain fall. If you know, give us a call here at, what's that number again?
That number again, 800-942-5669.
Make it rain in the Emirates. How are they going to do it? It's quite a project. Paul's online from Woodstock, Illinois, where they might have done this. I don't know. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
I am doing good.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to hear that you're not going to be around too much longer here with the show.
Am I dying? I am so tired of being told that I'm not going to be around anymore. It's really gotten to me psychically.
Oh.
But you're going to be missed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Paul. Paul, you'd hear about this thing in the Emirates, though, trying to make it rain. How are they going to do it?
I have not. I will take a guess.
Okay.
Are they flying in tankards of water and letting it fall?
Nice talking to you, Paul. All right. Erica is online from Madison. Erica.
Hi, are they building a mountain?
Are they building a mountain? You just grabbed that out of nowhere, didn't you? Yes, they are. They're going to build a mountain. And it's going to... So, but it depends which side of the mountain you're on, though, of course. So you want to be on the right side of the mountain once they build it. Maybe we'll build a mountain if they say they're going to. How are you, Erica?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. What are you up to now? Are you getting ready to do something, or are you up gardening already?
My parents are coming to visit, so we are on our way to get some groceries.
Oh, yeah. What do they like?
Whatever is on sale.
Whatever groceries are on sale?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they're not just, they're going to like it because it was cheap?
They'll be impressed if I found it on sale, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, what aisle are we looking in, though? Like produce, like cheap produce, like old produce or something they'd like?
Well, I was going to make a rhubarb dessert from some rhubarb I got at the farmer's market.
Excellent. Okay. Now we're talking. Excellent. I bet you make a good rhubarb, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Not easy to do. Erica, this is Craig. He's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Erica.
Hello.
The two of you work as a team, a brain trust, if you will. And we have various categories, and what might those be?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Erica, let you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's do people.
People it is. Among millennials, does the FBI or the Build-A-Bear workshop rank higher as a dream job? Okay.
Erica, I'm sure you're closer to that
millennial
demographic than I am.
I mean, they both sound good, but...
Or the Build an FBI Bear workshop.
I mean, I would think it'd be a lot cooler to work at Build-A-Bear.
Right. I agree.
Well, no, I'm sorry. FBI ranks way above. FBI is number 5. Build-A-Bear is still up there, but it's number 50. Oh. So they'd much rather be in the FBI than Build-A-Bear, but... I'm sorry. It's bound to happen once in a while. That would be...
That's one wrong.
Oh, okay.
And the remaining categories are current events, right, places,
okay,
school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Craig?
Current events.
Current events. Current events. What else is on your bucket list, Craig?
I've helped produce a record.
Oh, you did?
For some friends of ours, the Ordinary Heathens, great band.
Yeah. Oh.
Just coming out, so I... Yeah. Gave my opinion on a few things. I'm claiming associate producer status. So
okay.
I don't know about them.
That's it?
That's it.
That's pretty good. All right, the price of stamps actually went down 2 cents, which means they are now costing what? Cost of a stamp.
I should know this.
You should know this.
I just asked my wife like 2 days ago.
Yeah, what'd she say?
It's her laughing. I think it's 44 cents.
I
45, I think I said. 47.
Well, it was
40. I thought they were 49, so if they went down, 47 would make sense.
Yeah, but if they weren't 49, they would be a whole different situation.
Maybe 48, it could be, or 46.
All right.
I think 47.
Help them out, Michael.
47 is what they are now?
I think so.
They were.
Went down from the 49 cents to... Went down 2 cents.
No, I thought you were saying 47 is what they were, and
no,
they went down 2 cents.
No, they went
to
down 247.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what my wife said.
Yeah,
Erica, have you talked to his wife lately?
Right,
what did she actually say?
I would say 45.
45 is right, yes. Okay, thank you for saving us. Thank you. 45 cents, okay. Oh, you just buy a forever stamp, though. So you pay forever for the stamp as well.
So now it's tied with one right, one wrong.
Yes.
And the remaining categories are places, things you should have learned in school, science, and odds and ends.
Erica?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. Okay. All right, a fish has just been discovered that has A, hips, B, feet, or C, ears. It's a climbing cave fish, blind waterfall climbing cave fish. It's the first fish that's been discovered that I know of that has either hips, feet, or ears.
Well, if it's climbing, I'm hoping it's got feet or arms, since it's, you didn't say arms.
Right. Erica? That's really all that would make sense, right?
Well, it doesn't have to make sense, does it? I mean, this is what you know. Hips, feet, or ears?
Erica? I've got a bad hip, but I don't know about fish.
You got what?
Bad hip, but I don't know if fish have hips. Hip. But I think maybe they do from what I'm...
I don't think most fish... Do most fish have hips? No,
because why would they need hips? Maybe the ears help them climb somehow.
Then the fish wife would be saying, does this make me look hippie? what?
I think maybe ears.
Ears is a nice idea on a fish.
A cave fish.
Huh?
A cave fish.
Well, you get water in your ears if you're a fish. So let's rule out ears. They're not practical on a fish. Okay. So that leaves hips or feet.
Erica, what do you think?
Fish with feet?
Feet? Fish feet?
Unlikely.
I've heard of fish lips. Fish hips?
Huh?
I've heard
maybe
of fish...
the hips.
Hips is hips? Right. Okay, good. That wasn't hard. Hips. They discovered a fish with hips. All right, so that's a start of legs, I would think. Eventually.
That's two right, one wrong, and we got to do this one quickly.
Okay.
Mating categories are places, school, and science.
All right. Greg?
Places.
Places, here it is, for all the money. No, you don't want that one. State where people get the most insufficient sleep. Is it Ohio, Wisconsin, or North Carolina?
Well, I get plenty of sleep in Wisconsin.
Okay, Wisconsin's out. Ohio or North Carolina?
What do you think about Ohio?
Ohio sounds good to me.
Yes, Ohio! What a comeback!
Craig, you won a delicious Pringle from Racine's O&H Danish Bakery. One all-day breakfast item from McDonald's and a cheese plate from the Jasper Winery in Des Moines. Erica, you'll begin every morning the What Do You Know audience way with Steep and Brew Breakfast Blend Coffee and take an afternoon break with tasty Costa Rican Terrazoo from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. And many fabulous prizes, which we'll tell you about later. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Hey, Western Wisconsin.
Erica,
join Michael
sure
and the gate at the State Theater in Eau Claire for a live broadcast of What Do You Know on Saturday, May 21st. More information is available by calling their box office or online at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International.
Oh, yeah. Come on. All right, we got some music here, too.
This is good. PRI, Public Radio International.
All good.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah. Say that again.
That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Polka Rock Collective Copperbox, plus a batch of thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will do radio shift for food, Michael Feldman.
What? Oh. I'm feeling vigorous. Well, you know, we read memos about this time, don't we? Yes, actual memos sent in by actual listeners. I don't know which is more surprising. Okay, well, here's an actual memo. The thing about memos over the years I've noticed is that nothing is beneath writing a memo about.
No.
You know, for example, elevator etiquette. Something we take for granted, you know. I do some kind of weird things when I'm alone in an elevator. Any of you do that? like kind of get up on the bars and make monkey noises. But only if there's no one in there. So it doesn't really involve etiquette because there's no one else. I actually...
Cameras.
But that's because I'm feeling so vigorous at this point. Okay. UW Tower elevator etiquette. UW? Oh, is that here? Or a different W? Okay. Elevator etiquette. While waiting to board the elevator, stand away from the doors. Someone may be exiting at this floor, and you should always let them exit before you attempt to board. Two, don't get on a fully loaded elevator. Some of this would be common sense, but, you know, you never know how common sense is these days. Our elevators can hold 5 to 6 people at a time comfortably. If an elevator looks like it has more than 6 people or more in it, please wait for the next one. Three, hold the door open button if someone is coming in. I get this at work. I quit within by the end of the day. If someone is coming from outside the elevator and may want to get on, it's good elevator etiquette to hold the elevator for them if they want a ride. Don't hold the door open for minutes for a friend or colleague who has taken a quick side trip to get coffee, go to the restroom, etc. The doors will buzz if held open too long and do a slow close. So they can defeat you, even the open button. I didn't know that. Did you know that? You ever had an open button defeat you? Anyone here? I didn't know they could do that. Yeah, have you had that happen to you?
Well, no, but one time I tried to put my hand in the door because somebody was coming.
Oh, and it closed?
Jeff was there, and usually they stop, you know, they say, but this one didn't. It, like, shut on my hand.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That's the hand you use when you play.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Use the other one when you're trying to stop it.
I'm not holding the doors for anyone anymore. I don't.
Yeah,
this is a button.
That's very scary. Four, stand to the left. At UW Tower, there is a badge reader on the button panel on the right-hand side of each elevator. Elevators 8 and 9 are an exception, with their button panels on the left. After using your badge, who is this guy? I want to find this guy and make his life miserable. Oh, it's a woman. Okay. Can't do that, then. After using your badge, you should move to badge. Oh, okay. After using your badge, you should move to the left in order to allow other access and time to badge for their floor. You got a badge for every floor in this. Well, they're badgers, I guess. Is that what it comes from, the elevator badge? I'm shocked. Many people have said that they have to scan their card numerous times before the card reader will allow them to select their floor. Keep that in mind. And if you scan your card and the reader beeps at you and turns green, it has read your card. It takes about 2 seconds for it to communicate with the CAAM's relay before you can press the button for your floor. This is awfully complicated. I'm taking the stairs. If it seems to not be taking your card, please slow down and try again. Scanning your card too many times can send conflicting messages to the relay and slow the whole process down even more. Make sure you don't have any other cards with RFID chips in them stored near your Husky card. Oh, it's Washington. Okay, I feel better. Your Husky card. Go to EW there. Get a Husky card. Cool. The chips in both cards can cancel each other out when you're trying to scan.
Oh, boy.
God, this new world we live in. Five, break the ice politely if you wish. It never hurts to say good morning or hello or even how about them Huskies. Two people. This will help break the ice, and chances are no one else is going to do it. However, this is not a necessary step, so five is optional.
Hey, how you doing?
I hate them Huskies. Don't say that. No. Give people their space if possible. There's nothing more annoying than having someone stand 6 inches from you on an uncrowded elevator. Depends who, I have found. If the elevator is crowded, give as much space as you can without crowding others or yourself. Seven, if you're standing near the buttons, be willing to push a button for someone else who asks if you can. Well, who's ever refused to a what floor? You know, can you hit 6 for me? No. Are you kidding? I don't do that. This is all 6 of these so far are unnecessary. On the other hand, if you can clearly push the button yourself, don't ask someone else to. okay. But then you got to reach across someone, you know. It's rude unless they're the doorman. It's rude unless they're the doorman. No, it's rude unless they're the doorman, but then, again, it's best to do it yourself if possible. I've always felt that way. 8, exit quickly when you reach your floor. Get out quickly so that those waiting to board can do so. Don't worry about letting other people off first, because that might be a cue for a door hoverer. And parenthetically, those are people who are boarding who crowd you when trying to exit. Simply exit in a quick and orderly fashion. However, do not shove your way out or knock people over in the process. Unless the elevator is on fire or there's a devil in the elevator. Or one of the people on the elevator is a devil. Right. Did you see that movie? Okay. You can just tear this up then if that's the situation. You're in an elevator with a devil. A known devil. Documented devil. In the process. And finally, stay farthest from the door if you'll be the last person to step out. Wouldn't that be where you were anyhow? You wouldn't be the last person to step out if you're in the front of the elevator. Why would this? If you are traveling to the ground or topmost floor, it's better to stand farthest from the elevator doors after you board the lift. This way you will avoid inconveniencing others. Thank you, the communications coordinator of UW Tower. Go Huskies! Oh, boy. All right, okay, there's elevator etiquette for you. Where can they send those memos and whatever else they want to send?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post them there.
You know, I don't know about you, but I always think about Oshkosh when I think Zydeco. To me, they're synonymous. And nobody proves it like Copper Box. Can we get them to come out here right now? Copper Box, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us on our What Do You Know stage when polka turns into Zydeco, the Oshkosh way. They're going to sit up here. It'll just take a moment to get them. And we got the founders of Copper Box, Danny and Michelle Jerabek. Say Jerabek or you say Jerabek? Jerabek.
Both. Jerabek or Jerabek.
Yeah. Which do you prefer?
Jerabek.
Or don't you? And you guys grew up together, is that right?
No, we got married. We grew up separately and about an hour away from each other.
Okay, but you grew up, you knew each other as kids, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't mean that you married someone in the family necessarily. Because that would be not good. I don't know. How are you? Nice to see you both here. But if your fathers both played in polka bands in Oshkosh? Is that the background?
Yes. Danny's from Ripon area, so he learned to play the accordion, in his dad's band. And I grew up in Kewaskum.
In Kewaskum.
I played with my grandpa's band and my dad and my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and they were both at polka bands?
Yep,
yeah.
Both polka bands.
That's super cool. And did you play accordion too as a kid? Or?
Me?
Yeah.
My dad played accordion,
yeah.
And I played a little bit, you know, on my own.
Yeah.
But not like Danny plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Once I met him, I didn't play the accordion anymore, really.
Yeah. Intimidation. He's intimidating.
I won't let her, yeah.
Although he let me use it once at one show, and I ended up on the front cover of the Green Bay Tourist Guide and playing his accordion, and that was the last time he let me use it.
Because that's a nice, beautiful, that's a wonderful, that's a special accordion.
Thank you. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
I mean, it was a very hot day, and I was giving it my all for 3 hours, and for 3 minutes, Michelle was playing this little button box, and they take her picture
naturally
and put her on the cover. And
Well, that's going to happen, man.
My heart and soul.
That's going to happen. You know, what's the story behind this accordion? I know there's always a story behind a guy's accordion. When did you meet?
A couple beers and a couple of Jägermeisters. I bought this in 2003 from a Hohner, and now as of last July, I was endorsed by Hohner accordion, so that's cool. Pretty awesome.
That's cool.
I should be getting a brand new one soon. As you can see, maybe in the front row, it's kind of taped here.
Yeah. On, no, that's on top, cool, though. That makes it more Zydeco.
It's like used. Yeah. It's pulled down Zydeco.
And who are these guys back here? Let's get
Our bassist is Dave Shila.
Hey, Dave.
From Waukesha.
Yeah, from Waukesha. Yeah, cool.
And Dan Cable, we call him DC, from Winneconne, Wisconsin.
Yeah, hey, Winneconne.
Dan Cable.
We got the state represented here. I love it. Was there a moment where you guys, a big this thing where you went Zydeco from polka? I mean, there must have been something happened to you.
I'm not sure how it actually happened. But.
I think it was, we just were able to listen to so many different styles of music, and then playing the accordion just led us right to like blues music.
Yeah, cool.
And then they're like, well, Zydeco is blues music with, you know, basically the accordion and a great rhythm section behind you, so... Gave it a little more kick, but we kind of fused it all together with Copper Box.
And sounds something like this. Yeah. Copper Box.
It's a fine time for getaway. Wanna get away with you. A fine time for getaway, wanna get away with you. Feels like holiday, I can't spend my time with you. Ooh-ooh-ooh. Well, it's a fine time for getaway. Wanna get away with you. There's no time when you're out of time for a getaway for two. Feels like the first time in a long time. I can't spare my time with you. Ooh-ooh-ooh. You send your love, you got other things to do. Get away with you. A fine time for getaway. Wanna get away with you. Feels like a holiday. As I can't spend my time with you. Ooh, 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 ooh. The time we had, we spent.
That's what I'm talking about. Did you learn that little dip from Buckwheat Zydeco? Let me show you that. I'll do the dip.
That took us a long time, too, Michael, to learn that. We're not known for our dancing, you know.
That was great.
I was like, checks, you know, we're not known for dancing.
The new CD, by the way, is After the Rain. Was that one on this CD?
That's the latest one. We do have a new one coming out.
Oh.
With the new track that we just played called Getaway, coming in June next month.
Okay, all right, so it's all happening here. Copperbox, by the way, is what you're trying to look for online there. You're trying to find the music, and there is a copperboxband.com, too, so you can check that out. Got another one for us?
Sure.
Yeah?
Someone mentioned Baraboo before. Yeah. I wrote the song right after playing the Baraboo Fall Festival in 2006, downtown Baraboo, and... I was so inspired by the Baraboo belly dancers. I was also thinking of the beach when you were talking about.
Did you write one on there too?
Yeah, I would like to play the beach, and maybe I'll come up with another new original song. So,
yeah.
I hope hopefully everybody will call.
Get a bigger accordion before you do.
Live recording, yeah. Here's a song called "Gypsy Dancer," dedicated to belly dancers all over the world.
To rhythm she's dancing. He tries to ask for a dance, but it's always the same disappointing ending. He tries to ask for a dance, but it's always the same disappointing ending. We'll be right back.
What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI,
Copper
Public
Box,
Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again,
oh, yeah.
Michael Feldman.
That's what I'm talking about.
What are we doing now?
I think it's time for you to...
What?
Go out into the audience.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And get
right.
to
thank
know
you, thank you.
The people that are here.
I got disoriented. I was so into that Zydeco. By the way, they will be in the parking lot of the Essen House at 3 o'clock, if you're in the tri-state area here in Madison. Essen House parking lot. I don't know why the parking lot, but that's where they'll be. And is it supposed to rain? It looks like it's going to rain.
It's not. I think it's just cloudy today. Okay. So.
Okay.
Good
so
Essen.
So check it out there. East Wilson, is that what it is? Pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very cool. Loved it. All right. This is the album that I mentioned here, After the Rain, Copper Box. So check that out. And I didn't have time. I was enjoying the music, so I didn't really go through all your cards. So we'll just take them sort of randomly. That always works. All right, pretty good then? Did you like that? It was good, wasn't it? It's good because, you know, you get your polka and then you get your blues and you get all your stuff, but you got your polka in there too because the Wisconsin audience likes to have their polka in there somewhere. Olivia Many, Sextonville, Wisconsin. Is it many? Olivia asks, how are you? Age 7. I love it. Aww. I'm going to do random from now on. It's sort of a nice thing to ask. I'm fine. Let's say hello to Olivia. Sextonville, Wisconsin. She's 7. How are you? Oh, you would have come to me, I suppose. You got here quicker. Anyhow, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. And how do you say your last name?
Manet.
Okay, I didn't get to that pronunciation. I would have eventually. And you're in seventh. You're 7 years old. So you're what in second, third grade?
Second.
Yeah. How is it going so far?
Good.
Yeah. What do you like best about second grade?
Lunch.
I like your attitude.
Thank you.
Do you take the hot lunch or you bring a lunch?
I kind of do both.
You do? Depending upon what they have.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing at the hot lunch?
I like their soup.
You like the soup? What's in the soup?
It's kind of like this tomato kind of soup.
Like a consomme?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. That's good. Do you like any of the subjects that you're learning?
I like science.
Oh, you do. Excellent. What are you learning now in science?
We're learning... Can't remember.
So in second grade, is that where they suck eggs in the milk bottles?
No.
Did you ever do that one?
No.
That's kind of cool. Okay. All right. And then do you have a favorite teacher? You can get some, you know, if you say their name on the air, then when they see you, it helps your cause.
I like Miss Gabriel's.
Miss Gabriel's, what does she teach?
Kindergarten.
Oh. Your kindergarten teacher, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see her in the halls and say, I miss Gabriel, I miss you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah,
Olivia, you're very sweet. We have a little prize for you, too. Don't wait for Olivia. What do you got for Olivia?
Sure. So I've got a Bayfield Apple Dumpling Gang t-shirt from Big Top Chautauqua, as well as Mary Lee's The ABCs of Titles for Tiny Tales, Writing Prompts to Ignite and Excite a Child to Write from Navigator Books.
Okay, I have no idea what that is, but it's something. Thank you, dear.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you. Put her there. Olivia. Oh, I'm just saying, I was saying your name again, that's all. I also love your hair. Your hair is beautiful. Where is Sextonville?
Just outside of Richland Center.
Oh, okay. That's cool. All right. And you're asking, is a taco a sandwich?
Yes. Is a taco a sandwich?
Well, it comes under the heading of sandwich-like things.
I think a sandwich requires bread, so.
And something in between it, whereas a taco, I don't know, it gets complicated. Not going there. Instead of getting my mom a gift, I'm here at your show. I don't see why one or the other. It has to be one or the other, you know, frankly. Can you provide me with a good excuse when I show up tomorrow empty-handed? You Karen B. from Manhattan, Illinois. Where are you? I hope you're kidding, Karen B. You can't get your mother a gift and come to this show? Wait, is it a money problem?
No, I think it's just a time issue. Yeah. Can't do both.
Get rid of the mother, then. What can you do? What do you ask? This is ridiculous.
Just looking for an idea of an excuse when I, you know, show up without a gift. So.
A plant, like you always. A little plant there, and it blooms for a few weeks, and it dies.
No, I can't do that. She's too special for that. Okay. It's got to be something.
Too special not to forget, though, right? Entirely. All right. Okay. Well, I hope you've come up with something. I don't know. All right. Do you polka? See, this is random. Cam Reese? Hortonville, you polka. I've tried a few times. You look like you can polka.
I've tried.
Yeah. Can you polka to the Zydeco music?
Oh, I've seen them many times.
Oh, you have? Okay. All right.
I have them at our place for parties.
Oh, okay. Wow. You have them at your place for parties?
The okay.
Show the T-shirt. Copperbox T-shirt. Okay. He's a groupie.
Yep.
Oh, they got a roll of Copperbox groupies. Okay. And he makes jalapeno poppers when he's not doing that. Right?
That's right.
Do you, like, manufacture them?
Where I work.
Well, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, no one can hear you, and it's like I'm talking to myself, which I soon will be. But until then, I should really get the other half of a conversation. Yeah, so what's the popper connection?
I work at McCain Foods in Appleton, and they manufacture the jalapeno poppers that people like to eat, and other types of appetizers.
Yeah. Did they invent those?
The founders of Anchor Foods trademarked it, and then McCain Foods bought out Anchor Foods.
One guy, though, Mr. Jalapeno Popper?
Sure, why not?
His name Popper or something?
Hell for jalapeno.
Okay. All right, thanks, Cam.
Yeah, thanks.
Right. You're the groupies, though, huh?
We have the
groupies. You follow those guys?
See them at,
oh, I see. Okay, so you'll be in the parking lot there, the Essen House?
We will. Buy me a beer.
Okay. Where are people going to park for this event is the only question I have. What advice do you have as a seasoned radio veteran for a new radio personality in the Madison area? Okay, Kirk Swenson? You taking my job, Kirk? Hey, Kirk, you got a new job? Says you're a retired auto worker. That's good preparation for being in radio. I don't know.
Monona just came on board here a few months ago with a low power station. So it's about 100 watts, about 6 miles, and they stream online. So I decided to volunteer, and I go down and I program a one-hour rock music show every Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, I can't help you there.
No? Okay.
If you want to do a comedy quiz, I got like 10,000 quiz questions, and I'll even give you the recipe box because I don't need it anymore.
How about the big... Oscar Mayer Wienermobile thing.
Wienermobile, I don't care what happens to that, frankly. Those guys left town, I'm not into it, totally. The only thing I want for my set is my mother's lamp. I got it, the pineapple lamp. It was mom's, and it's really looking crappy, and I gotta definitely do something about that shade on there, but that's all right. But you can have anything else on the set
you
want.
No advice, huh? No advice. I don't really talk much. I let the music do the talking.
Let the music do the talking is good advice.
Yeah, so it's kind of different than your program.
Yeah. You'll do well. You got a good voice for it, and you know the music, right?
Yeah, know the music. Yeah. So
how did you learn the music?
It's been my whole life.
By playing the music and listening to the music.
No, just listening. Yeah. You know, going, seeing bands and listening, and having other people tell me about music.
And what's the station call letters?
It's 98. It's WVMO, the Voice of Monona, 98.7 FM, or streaming online at WVMO.FM. Name of my show is Drive Swede Said. Yeah. And it's every Tuesday afternoon.
Sounds good. So just got to get it when you get to Monona Drive, you should be able to get it.
You can get it across the lake here, and that's a little further, 6 mile radius.
Okay. Good.
Thanks.
All right. I'm telling you, he's going to be big. He's going to be big. I know big when I see it. But I would go to comedy quiz or something. How are you doing?
All right.
Yeah? How are you doing before?
All right.
How do you think I'll be doing later on?
You helped it out, yeah.
Oh, I did, yeah. And your name is?
Dave.
Dave, where are you from, Dave?
Capitol Lakes.
Capitol Lakes?
3 blocks away.
Oh. What is Capitol Lakes, though? It's on a
retirement community.
Oh, I thought it was a brewery or something.
No.
Are you sure it's not? Look, go outside and look at the sign again.
I'll do that.
Hey, what was your profession?
I worked for the DOT for Wisconsin.
You did, yeah.
Good roads.
We used to have good roads, didn't we?
When I was there.
Yeah. That's because they used to fix them when you were there.
That's right.
They got out of the habit of that or something like that. And what do you like to do now for recreation?
Well, we do
a dancer? Are you a polka dancer?
No, we do a lot of family history.
Yes, family history.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of family history, but we don't talk about it. That's you're a lucky guy. You can talk about it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Nice to see you. Hi, how are you? Okay. All right. What? Oh, okay. Okay,
you know what people should do, Michael, is what? Drunk family history.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be
there's a new programming idea for WPR.
That could be really vicious.
This Wollersheim winery, wine we couldn't give away, we should just put that towards drunk family history.
Drunk family history with Stephanie Lee.
Oh.
I like it. College-bound students. We have some college-bound students asking for my advice. That's a mistake. Ryan Esch is going to college. Maxwell Johnson. Are you guys sitting together? Is this a whole college? Oh, we have a college-bound row. That row is bound for college, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Oh, they're all coming. Are you all coming down here? Yeah, come on down. Come on down, college-bound row.
They're young. Look at
all these guys are bound for college. Anyone else bound for college in that row? The guy with the horns on his head? No? Obviously, he's been to college. With the Viking helmet with the raccoon tail sticking out of it. You've been to a good college. Probably in Minnesota is what I'm thinking. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. And you're good.
I'm Ryan.
Ryan and?
Maxwell.
Maxwell. And you're graduating this year?
Going to college next year, yes. Graduating high school.
Okay, but you have to graduate high school first.
Oh, we're not thinking about graduating high school right now. Just the college part.
Yeah. Where's the high school?
Wapaka.
Wapaka
High School, yes.
Yeah. Did you do anything at all your senior year? Work-wise?
Not really.
No. Did you do anything your junior year or sophomore year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was a president of the Student Library Advisory Group. I'm wearing my shirt, but I forgot it.
Student, what did you... You're wearing it inside out.
Yeah, no, it's just it's a fun library program for teens to get involved with reading books and hanging out. You have a room. It's
senior year, who gives it?
Well, I passed it down to the next generation, next kids.
Your senior year, pretty much a nothing?
No, I've...
Oh, you're doing a lot.
Yeah. Been doing plenty, yeah, taking some...
Senior prank? Working on the senior prank?
No, I haven't been doing a lot of that. Everybody in my class is indecisive. Nobody can decide on it. There's a lot of creativity, and it's gotten to the point where the senior class is so restricted as to what we can do because they've seen it all before by this point, so... Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do yet.
Party school.
Historically, like the greatest prank that ever was pulled at Wapaka?
Well, we were actually, told to kind of just bluff if we got up here because it's really a big secret. Yeah. And we wouldn't tell you. It's confidential,
You're going to put a police car on the roof.
That's... Well, no, that's been done.
No, I'm not worried about you guys, but where are you going to college and is it all... finalized and you get everything in?
Basically. UWSP. Stevens Point, yeah. Myself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be a lot of fun, probably for programming and for... Biology or natural research.
Okay, so you don't need my help at all. Do you have any advice?
Well, we were wondering if there are any classes that you've taken that you know we shouldn't take.
Well, what did you regret taking?
Well, physics for freaks. But I don't think they offer that anymore. That was how to throw a firebomb from the roof of a building. Well, maybe we could use that for the student prank, actually.
Oh, that's...
Too late, though. No, you guys will do great, I'm sure. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Be true to your school.
Thank you.
And go Point! Stevens Point! We're going to hear from them. You're making all the right decisions so far. Okay. Rebecca, okay, go on soon. What is the secret ingredient in life? Stacia Fields Johnson asks. I would say, I'd like to put leavening. Leavening. That sounds kind of like it could mean something, doesn't it? Leaven. Leavening. Leavening. Always leaven. Leavening. Leavening. Can you help me cross off an item from my bucket list? I was like, no. Husband wants to play the quiz. I don't know. We can't do it. Everybody wants to play the quiz. But all right. Well, let's just. Lynette says her husband. All right. It's a little too important to her husband, I think. Bill Mayer from Hubertus, Wisconsin. You right there? Is it too important to you?
No, it's important to me.
It's important to her. Do you want to play or does he want
to
play?
No, I want him to play.
It's important to you that he play.
Aww.
Isn't that a nice couple? What? Well, all right, well, just wait a second now. I got to get through a whole row to get the end, so be prepared to be stepped on. You pull in, you just grab your purses, ladies, and pull in your feet. Oh, you're wearing open toes.
No problem.
You never wear open toes to this show.
Oh, listen, that's great. You have to have fresh air for the toes.
Do your toes actually breathe?
Oh, they sure do, especially when you're...
You awake at night when your toes are breathing down here?
They wiggle.
Let's talk more about this, because
it's very important.
always open toes, everything?
Always open. Oh, I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't either. I didn't. So, all right, that's okay. We're even. All right, good. Okay, thank you. How you doing? Good to see you. How are things?
It's super. Yeah, super.
Never you better.
Been to the farmer's market yet?
Never.
Later.
You're going later?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
She wants vegetables. They don't have any yet.
You're not looking for anything, but she wants vegetable.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you are looking for.
I'll take a fruit, too.
Mm. All right, good. What?
Maybe that's me. I don't know.
I wasn't commenting on his sexuality.
No. I'll just keep moving right along here. And maybe I shouldn't stop when I'm making these long meanders down the road, but it takes a while. How are you?
Very good.
You're definitely in the fetal position. You don't want to be bothered.
I'm fine.
Or do you?
Sure.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What'd you do this morning?
This morning I went to work.
You had to work this morning?
Yeah, I had to do some reports, and then I was able to get out.
Reports on a Saturday?
Yeah, somebody's got to turn them in.
Not on a Saturday, though.
Post office. We work every day.
Post office? Reports they do at a post office. Yeah, got there. Yeah. Put it in a box. Okay, yeah, okay, did it. Done. What?
You have to count the on-hand volume, send it to somebody more important so they know how much work we have to do today.
Yeah. You get paid for working at a...
Certainly.
You got a good union, don't you? You got...
Yes, the APWU and the mail handlers, they have good unions.
Is that 2 cents coming off the stamp? Is that taken away from you?
Not immediately, maybe. Retirement.
Is this young man with you?
This is my son.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
What grade are you in right now?
Seventh.
Seventh grade at?
McFarland.
The McFarland, what is their team called?
The Spartans.
What?
The Spartans.
The Spartans, that's right, because we played them. We played them in tennis. My daughter's a tennis player. So you got a sport?
Football, basketball, and track.
Yeah, but you have a sport.
Oh.
You have every sport. Which do you like best?
Football.
What do you play?
I played receiver, but I want to do running back.
Fast? Are you fast?
Pretty fast.
You got good hands?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean, yeah?
All right, yeah.
Okay, good. Good to see you. Nice to see you. Okay, I forget who I was going to see down here. Oh, it's in the wrong row.
Everyone was trying
Why
to tell
Why did someone
you?
Tell me I'm in the wrong row? I can't go through all these people's life histories again and get back. Here, I'll just kind of lean over you here. Can I get you just to stand up here? Yes, I'm sorry. Why am I here?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
To entertain me.
No. I mean, why am I here in this wrong row?
Oh, my question was, I was wondering if you could put my husband on the quiz because I want to get it off my bucket list.
Why is your husband on your bucket list? He's got his own bucket list. You got your bucket list. He should not be on your bucket list and vice versa. Do you have something on your bucket list as far as your wife?
Oh, keeping her happy.
That's my number one.
Number one. Good man.
That's what she wants.
Yeah.
I mean, is it that important to you?
It works for me. Yeah, it works for me. We've been here many times and want to be on the list, on the quiz, yeah.
You want to be on the list?
On the quiz, sir.
Yeah, we've been listening for years, and he always seems to come up with the answers that are on the quiz, and I just want to have everybody know how smart and wonderful he is.
Aww.
Well, that's not good enough, though.
Aww.
Give me a good reason. All right, so it's Lynette.
Bill.
We're all going to be living in Belize together. All right. I'm Bill. Let's bring Bill down here. I still got to go through. I could go through this way, but I don't know. Okay, I'll just say goodbye because, sorry, I got to go. Oops, I stepped on something there. I don't know what that was. Might have been an animal of some sort. Felt like a paw more than a foot. Anyone have a paw under the... Okay, now you're clinging to him, I notice.
Yeah, listen, hold on to them. Good.
Yeah. You got to hold on to the good ones.
Said it.
Oh, you said it. Okay. Where is Bill? Oh, Bill's up there already. Come on. I haven't
Chomping
lost control already, have I? Stop stroking the emu, Bill. You got a few weird things on your list is what I'm thinking.
But it was facing the wrong way. We couldn't see what it was.
Oh, it's an emu, supposedly. I don't know anything. I don't know how we got it. I don't know why it's here. Hey, Bill.
Hey.
So what do you do in life as we know it?
I deliver flowers for a florist.
You're doing in Hubertus?
Well, we live in Hubertus.
Hubertus.
You asked us about that.
I never remember once I asked.
And, yeah, I make people happy, bringing them flowers.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And this show has been part of your life?
I've been listening to you for a long time.
While you're delivering flowers?
We do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yep. When you say we, you mean you?
I mean me.
What do you do for
while
kicks,
I'm delivering
Bill?
Flowers. I like to go to music concerts. And
what do you do?
My friend plays blues. I go listen to him.
Yeah. Are you a blues guy yourself type?
I like listening to him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have him sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Feel like singing one right now?
I don't know. Thanks.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm on the Michael Feldman Show. And I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's a sad, sad song. Hey, Bill. Hate to bring all that up.
Babe. Yeah.
And let's see, what else do you do? What do I like to do for kicks? Anything?
Golf.
You're a runner? You play golf? You're a golfer. Okay.
Golf league started 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
What's your handicap? Playing golf?
Golfing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, bye.
Okay.
Thanks for everything. And your wife seems very fond of you.
Sometimes.
All right, so Bill, someone out there plays along with you, and what happened to my... Oh, here it is. I was falling apart. Okay. Losing all my quiz skills already.
But you're still vigorous.
I'm still vigorous.
That's right.
And I never look better, but that's not saying much. Okay. So, nice, Stephanie Lee.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing
that's
splendidly.
Beautiful dress.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
I love you in that. Always wear that for me.
Okay.
No matter what happens here, we'll always have that dress. And what was I saying to you?
I think...
think we need to tell our audience how they can
play
along with
Bill.
Where did
they get that dress? Where did you say Anthropology? Is that where?
Yes, I did buy this dress at Anthropology.
And is that where one shops for dresses like that?
It seems to be where I shop for dresses like this.
Yes.
Yep. I actually was going out shopping because I wanted to find a nice dress to wear for all of the remaining What Do You Know shows.
A different one for each show?
Correct. A different.
It's like Loretta Young Lee.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot.
Sorry.
I forgot your age handicapped. You don't know Loretta Young. Used to come down on the Loretta Young show. Boy, I really am old. That seems old to me. Come think of it. But she would come down. It was a stupid show. But she would come down in a different, down the stairway in a different, beautiful dress each time. And they'd say, "Boy, here's Loretta Young in a different dress again. Where does she shop?" And it's probably Anthropology of her day, whoever it was. So, okay. So let's do the quiz now.
That sounds great.
Okay. Have you never heard of Loretta Young?
No, I thought for a
Robert
moment you
Young?
Were talking about Loretta Lynn. Yeah,
Loretta
I know.
Lynn?
Sorry.
No. Could you get a little older, please? So we can
continue that. Working on it.
Okay. So then someone gets to play on this quiz here.
Correct.
With Bill.
Correct. If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO.
That's what these are for, then.
Or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, if you wanted to buy everything that's for sale on Amazon, how much money would you need to have on hand? Or at least on your credit card, which I doubt you'd have that much on your credit card. But anyhow, so you can do it. It'd be possible to do it, and I want to, within what, 100 million, let's say?
Sure.
Okay. How much money you want to buy, you know, on a whim, whatever, it's on your bucket list. You want to buy everything on Amazon. How much would it cost you? We know. Do you? Joe's in Whitehall, Ohio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. What you up to today, Joe?
I'm going to be going to my mom's house, checking her out, make sure she's doing okay.
Oh, good, good. Is she in Whitehall, too?
No, she's in Pickerington.
Okay. And then in the afternoon, you're going to play a little golf, whatever, or just?
Not so much.
A little yard work?
I've got sciatica, so I don't do anything until I get my shot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry to hear it, Joe.
Okay.
Well, take your mind off that here. Let me tell you, so let's say you wanted to buy everything on Amazon. How much do you think it would cost you?
$250 million.
We're talking in billions here. I'll tell you that. let me ask it again. The answer is in billions.
About $350 billion.
Oh, that's you overpaid.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, Michael. Thank you for making me laugh every Saturday for the last bunch of years. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. James in Charlotte, North Carolina. James, you're on a whim here.
All right, take care.
You're going to buy everything on Amazon because it's on your bucket list. So how much you think you'd have to pay in billions?
In billions.
In billions.
And 350 was overbid?
Yeah, quite a bit.
I won't say $1 because that would be Price is Right.
Okay.
$75 billion.
You're high. Well, I don't mean that.
$50 billion.
Oh, no, you're still high. Okay, bye. Bye. Robin's in Peoria, Illinois.
Hi.
Hi. Robin, you're buying everything on Amazon.
Oh, great. $10 billion.
Huh?
Ten.
What'd you say, 11?
$10 billion.
12? Well, I can't
12.
Hear you.
You're right. I said 12.
13?
I think it was 15.
13?
$13 billion.
$13 billion. Robin, you're my friend if you got that kind of money. Is that you, Robin?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Did you ever eat at the Burger Barge?
I have eaten at the Burger Barge.
Don't you love
it? Yes, I have many times.
Don't you love it?
I love their frings.
Their what?
Frings, onion rings, and French fry combination.
Oh, yeah, that's good. But I like a hamburger with a slab of chicken and maybe a pork chop on it.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of watching my weight, so.
Oh, I'm just saying what I
like. I watch it go up.
Yeah, I know, I don't know. Robin, this is Bill. He's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Bill.
And what are you up to today, Robin? Got something out there you got to get to?
Actually, I'm sitting in the parking lot at Goodwill store getting ready to go in and shop because it's okay. My favorite thing to do.
Yeah, Goodwill. A lot of people like to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we won't take much of your time here. And
okay,
then Robin and Bill, you work together. It's collaborative, and we have various categories, don't we, Stephanie Lee?
We do. Those categories
are... anthropology.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Robin, pick first one. What would you like?
Things I should have learned in school.
Okay. What does avoirdupois mean? Avoirdupois. Avoir du poids. Avoir du... You know, the thing.
Could you spell it?
Yeah, but then you'd look it up.
No, I'm on it.
Sounds like a farewell.
No, it's something in school that you should have learned, and it's a system of something.
Avoir
du poids? Avoir du poids, I always said in school, which is why they never teach it properly in school, because you can't say... A-V-O-I-R-D-U-P-O-I-S, probably French. Avoir du poids. Anyhow, it's a system or something. What sort of system is it that you should have learned about in school?
Sounds like a library system.
No.
No?
Robin, any idea?
Yeah, you know, I work in a library, so no, I don't think that's it.
Okay. What do you think it is then?
Sounds like an animal, maybe.
No, I don't think so. It's a system of measurement. It means pounds. You know, they measure in pounds and ounces and stuff. It's avoir de plus.
Well, that's pretty obscure.
It is not. We do it all the time. It would be...
That's one
wrong.
Oh,
okay, what's left there?
And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
You're not going to lose. Let's face it.
Let's try science.
Okay. Modern Europeans descended from Russia, Turkey, or Belgium. 35,000 years ago in the Ice Age.
Probably Turkey.
Or, I think I would tend to agree with you, Bill.
Or Russia or Belgium.
Or Russia or Belgium.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Three.
Maybe
three.
Belgium.
Oh, interesting. Joyce?
What do you think, Robin?
Belgium?
Belgium is right, yes. Belgium. Surprising. Belgium.
That's one right, one wrong. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
Okay. Back to you, Robin.
People.
All right, people. Percentage of people who throw a buck in the case of a street musician if they're good. 27%, 51%,
only if they're good?
Yeah, only if they're good. 27%, 51%, or 66%. Passing gun, and he's good.
And he's good. What do you think, Robin? 50%? Half the people?
I would say more. I think more people are good that would contribute to that.
Oh, you're saying 66?
Yeah, I think that's closer to that.
That could be, when they're good.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, 66%.
Right. Oh.
Because they're good. They deserve a buck. Of course.
All right.
One more crack at it here.
That's two right, one wrong. The remaining categories are current events, places, and odds and ends.
We'll go with places.
Places. Okay, here it is. All right. No. How about current events?
How about current events?
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Hey, the FDA says that it's candy cigarettes for you kids until what age? Recent ruling.
18.
So what?
You can't have them until you're what age?
You can have them.
You can have candy
cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
You can
Does
only
that mean
have
that...
until you're 18. Is it 18?
I would say about 18.
Yes, 18 is right.
Yeah.
Holy cow! It's Britney.
Bill, you'll
have more fun than a barrel of monkeys with a reference card deck of historically active volcanoes of Alaska from the Alaska Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. Robin, from Ames and Portland to Milwaukee and Springfield, you'll relive precious moments of radio road shows reading Michael Feldman's Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including the CD My Life, the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can whip up a batch of scrumptious pancakes using a mix from Al Johnson's Swedish Restaurant and Boutique, complete with a jar of Lincoln berries, but no goats on your roof. And after breakfast, enjoy an Appalachian spring listening to the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with liner notes to Make America Great Again by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both
Thanks,
of you.
Bill. Thank you. Cross that Thank one you. Off. Robin, hang on. Make sure you get that.
Hey, Western Wisconsin, join Michael and the gang at the State Theater in Eau Claire for a live broadcast of What Do You Know on Saturday, May 21st. More information is available by calling their box office or online at notmuch.com.
Thank you all for coming. Nice seeing you here. Thank you for listening. Keep the faith. What Do You Know to the undead.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Brad Colbert.
PRI, Public Radio International.